Hello and welcome to our UKCP podcast. We're recording during the COVID-19 restrictions. Restricted measures mean that both psychotherapists and clients are adapting to new online circumstances. The mental health implications of the coronavirus pandemic are vast. Psychotherapists play a vital role in providing essential support to those in need. Many have lost their lives, and more therapists will be faced with clients dealing with loss and bereavement. In this episode, our CEO, Sarah Niblock, is speaking to UKCP psychotherapist and member of our board, Juliet Rosenfeld, about her experiences moving her work online and her advice to other therapists supporting clients in the throes of grief. This recording took place online, so you may notice a difference in quality.
So could you start by telling us a little bit about your practice, Juliet?
Yes, so I run my own practice in Northwest London, and I work more or less full time with patients who I see a variety of once a week up to five times a week.
And in what ways has COVID-19 changed the way you work, and how have you met those challenges?
I think, like most of my colleagues, I've met those challenges fairly rapidly. With the help of the organisations which I belong to, UKCP and the IOPA, who have given us all guidance on what to use to be able to see, in quotation marks, our patients virtually. And I'm using Zoom and Skype. And it has been an immense change, a change that I don't think anybody foresaw coming. And I think we all had to react very rapidly. I'd always seen some patients when it was necessary, online methods and occasionally telephone. But my preference, I think, again, like most practitioners, has always been to work in the room with the patient. So it's been a rapid and tremendous change to the way that we work. And I do see it as provisional. I see it in many ways as a really, really good and effective way of maintaining treatment during this time. But I miss seeing people here, and I miss seeing my patients opposite me or on the couch very much. So I think there's loss in lots of ways that we're all having to work with, but also grateful that technology means that during a time of national emergency, we can continue our work.
Do you think that working this way has presented any opportunities, perhaps things that you hadn't foreseen?
Well, I think the fact that actually it's been fairly easy to move all my patients over to Zoom or to the telephone in some cases, I think I've been kind of pleasantly surprised by that. I think it's hard to know quite what at the moment. I think we'll learn an immense amount from this. And I think, you know, it may mean that we change certain ways of working. Certainly the facility of being able to work with people who are in different cities, I think that's all very important and interesting learning for us all. And when we think about access to psychotherapy for people living in more remote areas where it is much harder to find a therapist. So definitely, I think there are interesting opportunities.
You recently published your personal and immersive account of bereavement, The State of Disbelief, A Story of Love, Death and Forgetting. What should a therapist do when confronted by a client, patient or service user who's in the throes of grief?
Well, that's a very good question, Sarah. I think one of the things that surprised me both clinically and personally when I was writing and thinking about the book, which was also, though, as it were, contemplating, you know, what was going on in my life following my bereavement, which was the death of my husband, is that I'm not convinced that psychotherapy is always the answer for someone in, as you put it, the throes of grief. I think that there are many, many ways in which psychotherapy becomes helpful and indeed essential for people who are bereaved. But one of the things that I also think is that it needs time for someone to just accommodate in their mind the immensity of the loss of another human being and the human being that they were closest to. And so I think that only when someone is ready should they come to therapy. And then I think the job often is really just about listening. I think that there is, and there always should be, time for interpretation, I think, in therapeutic relationships that I have with my patients. But I think for quite some time, what somebody needs is just listening, and they need to be able to talk and not talk, but be heard. And I think that that sort of idea of just listening to whatever someone needs to say, and however many times they need to say it, and for however long it takes. And also, I think recognizing that it may take many, many years, you know, rather than months or a year or 2 years for someone to come to terms with the death of the person that they love very much. I think immense patience is required on the part of the therapist, not to rush anything and to go at the pace of the person who's been bereaved.
Of course, you and I are speaking just after the figures have emerged about deaths in care homes, pushing the extent of human loss in the UK much higher. What do you feel is the role of the psychotherapy profession as a whole in these times?
Well, I think we have a really vital role. I think, as I'm sure both been reading this morning, the numbers are completely overwhelming. The numbers of people that have been lost to this horrendous virus, they're unthinkable. I find it impossible to even imagine. And I think they are numbers that are very relevant to the scientists and politicians working on our behalf. But actually, psychotherapists, counsellors, psychoanalysts, and other frontline mental health care workers, we are really interested in one mind at a time. And so I think it's very, very important that we recognise our role, and the role is recognised. And I am very concerned about resources. I'm concerned about the lack of, you know, mental health psychotherapy resources within the NHS. And I'm also concerned, as I was saying, we were talking before about grief. And this is what I think of as the really what happens after bereavement is, you know, grief. Mourning comes later. And I think it's going to be very important for all mental health clinicians to understand, you know, just what it is that we can do. I think that, again, it's a sort of point really of just the kind of time that people will need. And when you add in with this virus, the brutality of it, the way in which people have been separated from the people that love them, I think there will be a lot of trauma, a lot of shock. We have to really prepare for the implications of this pandemic. And can we all, both as mental health professionals, but also just as people, really try to keep in mind that, you know, thousands of people are going to be going through this experience. It's as hard as it is in a way to contemplate our own death. We don't like thinking about death very much. So I think we need to look at grief in a much longer term way than we do. I don't think that it is about people being brave or getting over it. I think it is about people feeling themselves often to be in intolerably distressed states. And we need to open up a conversation about how we can all support this growing group of people by day better.
As a UKCP trustee, Juliet, what do you think our priorities should be as an organisation during and after COVID-19?
Well, I think that you, Sarah, as chief executive, and our operations team have already, I think, shown really great leadership in swiftly communicating the importance to all of us as members, you know, how we could most safely for our patients, our clients, our service users, and for ourselves practice. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of advice coming, a lot of support. As I said earlier, when you asked about me, I'm no different to anyone else. I think the great majority of us see our patients and our clients in our consulting rooms. My experience as a member has been that the instructions have been really clear. And I think it's about safety at the moment. And I'm sure many, many other things will come out of this crisis.
Yes, indeed. Now, I've got one final question for you, which I think will resonate with our members who are living the same uncertainty and difficulty as clients. What does self-care mean to you at this time? What does it look like?
Well, for me, it's about routine. And I think that it's incredibly important. It's perhaps strangely important. And I think just observing a routine, keeping it as close to possible for me and for my family. I have school-aged children, so it's stuff like getting up, having breakfast, getting in front of the computer screen, you know, having breaks, making sure that they're doing that. For me, I'm working the same hours as I do with my patients. And then outside of that, certainly exercise. I know that's important to you too. And I have been going for a run a couple of times a week, and also discovering online Pilates and yoga, which is, I think, makes a really big difference. You know, the basic things, kind of meals, eating healthily, going to bed at a sensible time, and also really moving my body. I definitely think that we are, I mean, we just are, we're not leaving our house. So you absolutely have to keep mobile. So that's what I'm doing.
You've been listening to UKCP psychotherapist Juliet Rosenfeld talking to Sarah Niblock, our CEO. If you're interested in finding out more about the role of psychotherapy during the COVID-19 crisis, then why not check out one of our previous episodes? We are updating our website regularly with helpful guidance and resources, which you can find by visiting psychotherapy.org.uk. Till next time.